Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Gabriel wasn't able to introduce me, so I'm not going to either. So all of you guests, just, you know, you work on it best you can. My name is Mike Wright, and I'm Gabriel's dad, and it's good to be here with everybody. Good to see a lot of our friends that we already know from a long time. Good to be here with y'all. And then all of you other guys. I mean, there's so many new faces here, and it's just a joy to be able to be with y'all today. And I just want you, if you can, before you leave out of here with a word from God for 2017. There's got to be something in 2017 that's going to be different from 2016. And I know Pastor Gabriel's done some good messages and preached to you about being great and about moving forward this new year. But I just want you to remember that there's some things in 2016 that you did that you don't want to do again. So you need to make a little bit of an evaluation. Just make up your mind what you're not going to do. That's going to help a bunch of y'all a lot. I mean, you could really get down the road. But on the other hand, there may be some things in 2017 that you see in your life or in your family that you would like to accomplish. And you need to not just make a New Year's resolution, but you need to begin to make some changes in your life. So we're going to talk about that, and I'll take a few minutes with you on that. You've got some note, at least a note paper in your bulletin there, your guide. So if you want to get that worship guide and get that out, you may get a couple notes a day that could be noteworthy. Who knows? My wife Sue is here somewhere. There she is. Stand up. Let's give Sue a hand. Good to have her with me today. Okay, so let me just tell you a couple things just real quick here before you get into your notes. And that is Paul Perry has gotten me excited about this 100 things that manly men need to know. And so we've talked on the phone a little bit about it. So today I'm helping him. So if you're going to be a manly man, you need to get you a leather jacket. And from time to time, you don't have to wear it every day, but from time to time, you need to rock your leather jacket. So that's one lesson. Here's another lesson. Manly men need to carry a knife. My wife, if she ever needs something cut, she'll say, "Do you have your knife?" And what's my reply? Do I have my pants on? Because if I have my pants on, I have my knife. So that's another one of your manly men. So you guys take notes. The other thing that you need to do from time to time is wear cowboy boots. Ladies, you know I'm right about this. And men, I'm just helping y'all. You just need to look it up. It's online. Google it up. 100 things manly men need to know. From time to time, you need to rock your cowboy boots. Now, some of y'all nodded no at me already. So for you, you've got to get the Urban Ramblers, the Martin Riggs style. You don't know Martin Riggs? You don't watch Lethal Weapon? So then, if you do that, then you get them that fold out. They're just big, and they... So you rock your cowboy. Y'all good so far? So I'm helping Paul out. Let me move him down the road. Now, the only person that's going to be worried this morning is my wife now. Why? Because she wants those pants over those boots and they're hanging out there looking bad. So I'm just letting you know that I do know that it's not right. Let's look at our Bibles if you would. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I want us to look at a couple things. We're going to be dealing with some thoughts on our value today, who we are, and just knowing God. I think one of the big things we think we do is we think we know God and we think we understand His ways. When clearly the Bible says in Isaiah 55, we don't know His ways. You know what amen to me now? We come to church, and some of y'all are so regular up in here, you have the regular same thing you do all the time when you come to church, and we think we know God and we know His ways, but I think this morning we may be able to rehearse a few things and find out that maybe there's some of His ways I need to find out. Maybe there's some ways I'm not really understanding, so we're going to deal with that. But let's look at this out of the Message Bible. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 through 34, and here's what the Bible says. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen. I don't know if you ever think about this verse. We read it so quickly sometimes. But just let that just soak in on you just a minute. Most of which are never seen. Don't you think He'll attend to you? Take pride in you and do the best for you? What I'm saying to do here is that you try to get you to. I want you to get you to relax. That you do. That you are not so preoccupied with getting so getting. Excuse me. I don't know if I need my glasses on or off. I just had my eyes. I had surgery on my eyes. So they both got cataract surgery. So kind of do it without them. Maybe I can make it better. I don't know. What I'm trying to do. This is Jesus speaking. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. To not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People don't know God. And that's one of the things that I just want you to circle and mark in your heart. They don't know God and the way He works. And these kind of people fuss over these things. But you know both God and how He works. Steep your life in a God reality, a God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you to deal with whatever hard things are coming up. Here's the idea. God said, I'm doing all this work for you, and you guys are not responding to what I'm doing for you because you're too worried about the stuff you don't have. And the idea is we do need to relax and find out that God is on our side. And here's what He says. If we know Him and know His ways, then we're going to relax a little bit more. If we know Him and know His ways, then we can come in here and worship God. Another verse that we will read, I'm going to go ahead and read it now because we're going to use it later, but you might want to just put a jot this down, is Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is where Jesus pulls this thought. I think sometimes when Jesus speaks, we think He's just speaking off the cuff. There's a problem, I'm going to make something up on the fly. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. So when He's given something, He's not just getting it on the fly. He's pulling it out of Himself. And here's where He gets this out of Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Listen to this. This is Message Bible as well. Don't let the wise brag on their wisdom. That'll help some of us right there. Don't let the heroes brag about your exploits. Don't let the rich brag about your riches. If you brag, brag on this and this only, that you understand and know God. Wow. What you got doesn't mean you know God. What you think doesn't mean you know God. And I love what He said. He said, don't be bragging. If you want to brag about something, start bragging about your understanding of God and your knowing Him. He says this, I'm God and I act in loyal love. I do what's right and I set things right and fair. And I delight in those who do the same. These are my trademarks, God decrees. So I'm just saying, we need to start finding out who God is. We need to know Him and know His ways. One of the things we say when we're ending a year, starting a year, or we have a cliche we pull up from time to time. How many's ever heard this? All's well that... You know, that's really not the truth. All's well that begins well. Let me back up and say it another way. It's not all's well that ends well, because just because it ends the way you want it to doesn't mean that what happened was right. What we need to get in our mind is all is well that begins well. If I'm going to do something and get a right result, then I'm going to start on it now. I'm not going to wait till the end of the year and figure out, did God touch me? I want to make my mind up now. And there's an author, he was really a research scientist, and he came out with this, and it's called the habit loop. And that may be in your notes as well, the habit loop. Because here's what I want you to know. If you're going to be intentional for 2017, you're going to be intentional. You're going to know God. You're going to know His ways. You're going to be intentional about your life. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, what can I have for 2017? And He gave me L-I-F-E, life. And that is living intentionally for eternity. Living intentionally for eternity. In other words, when I get up in the morning, I'm making up my mind that morning how I'm going to live that day for my results in eternity. Let me back up and say it another way. What Charles de Higgs said back, this is back in the 70s in his study, they were doing this lab rat test on people's responses. And what they did, and he called this his habit loop, he put a lab rat in a maze, and then at the end of the maze he had a reward, and the lab rat had to get in there and smell his way to get to the reward. Now, here's the cool thing about it. He did that about four or five times, that rat, and it didn't take him long. He memorized the route. So when they dropped him in, he'd go straight to the prize and get the cheese or the chocolate or whatever was on the other end, and he didn't have to think about it. And here's what Charles de Higgs found out. He found out as they test the rat's brain waves that when they dropped him in and he went over to the prize, he didn't even have to think. Say no brainer. Okay, I just thought. He didn't even have to think. They put him in. He'd memorize it. Now, y'all saying, what do I have to do with that? How'd you get to church today? Excuse me just a minute. Why'd y'all come today? Why did we show up here today? Why are you going to go to work Monday? How are you going to go to school Monday? What is it you're going to do when you get up? When do you make the beds or sweep the floors or do whatever it is? How many of y'all do things and you don't have to think about them? You just got to get up and do them. How many of y'all got a job Monday? How many of y'all got to think, I got to get up and go to work? Look, you can raise your hand, but you didn't have to think about that. You're raising your hand because you know it's a trick question. But here's the fact. You don't have to think about it. You came to church this morning. You didn't have to think about it. You knew you were going to come up here. You didn't have to think about what you're going to sing because they're going to have it up on the board. We're just going to know because we go there. We know how church is. So we put it in there. Now, here's the problem. You ain't thinking. You're going to work and your brain is not functioning. Well, I'm so smart. Well, I'm going to just say this to you. You're in the habit loop. And here's what I don't want to be in 2017, and that is the habit loop with God. I want to change a habit. So how many of us have ever made resolutions and didn't keep them? Yeah, all right. So here's the habit loop. The habit loop is this. You got to have a cue or a trigger, and then you got to have a routine, and then you've got to have your prize. So you get triggered, you go through a routine, and you get your prize. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you get a check on Friday. Excuse me just a minute. We go to church on Sunday morning, and we sing some songs, and we hear some preaching, and we have a prayer, and we go home, and we eat lunch and do whatever it is, because it is our trigger. We're triggered by the sun came up, or the alarm went off, and we got up, and we did what we're going to do, so we went through our routine, and then we got our prize. We all going to go see Jesus when we die. And talking about death, my grandkids are the worst. The ones that attend this church. My three grandkids from up here in Trustville, all the most morbid kids I think that God has. They, anything that I have that they like, i.e. knives, guns, or anything else, they're going to ask me, one coach would be the first one. He'd say, can I have that? And I'd say, no, you can't have that. And he'd say, well, when you die, can I have it? So the three of these grandkids of mine, I caught a couple of them, it's been probably a year or so back, they were going through a box of knives I had, they were going through the box of knives, and I heard them dividing up my knives for when I die. I'm just saying, my kids have got some jacked up kids. I'm going to get right over there to the stage. See how my eyes do. Yeah, they'll go ahead and get their knives tonight. So here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's what we want to break for 2017. Forget those kids that go 2017. What we do as a human is we try to change a routine. Think about your resolution. I'm going to do what? Go to the gym every day. I'm going to do what? Lose 10 pounds. I'm going to do what? Read my Bible every day. Right? Right? What do? We go straight to the routine, and we try to change the routine, and we try to change the routine. We fail. Because about 3 or 4 weeks later, 6 weeks later, 6 months later, we back in the what? The routine, the habit. We're in the habit loop because we dealt with the routine, and we kept trying to change the routine. And here's what DeHigg came up with, and I like his concept. He said, why don't you change the trigger? Why don't you just change the trigger? Changing the maze doesn't affect the rat. He learns it immediately, and he goes right back into routine mode. But here's what he said you could change. It's just change the trigger. Change why you're going to work instead of I gotta go to work. I'm going to work today because I'm going to work under the Lord. I'm going to go today because I'm going to bless my family. I'm going to go today because I'm going to make my boss see that I'm a child of the Most High God. I've got a different trigger that gets me there, and therefore I'm working the whole day in my heart and my mind. How about coming to church? What if we got up this morning instead of saying, well, I got to go to church today, and we're going to do this. What if we got up and said, hallelujah, I am going to go to the house of God today, and where two or three are gathered together, God is going to show up in that house. I'm going to hear some worship and praise that's going to bring the presence of God right to me. I'm going to hear some preaching. I don't know who's going to preach today, but I'm leaving there changed today. What if we came in with that thought? Just a different trigger. So listen, it's not about can I change my habits. No, you probably can't, because we're the general screw-ups on that. But what can we do? Change my trigger. I'm going to change what gets me up in the morning. I'm going to change how I do my day. And my routine will change because my trigger changes. Listen to me. I may do the same thing every Sunday, but I'm going to do it for a different trigger. Does that make sense to y'all? So we got to make a habit. We got to make a habit change in there. And one of the things you're going to have to change in your life, and that is knowing God. We need to know who God is. We need to know how He works. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So let me give you three things, and then we're going to work through these. It won't take us very long on these three things. There are three things, three questions everyone asks, especially a boss. Anybody a boss or a leader, or you're head of a crew? Anybody in here doing that? Raise your hand. Let me see. All right. Yeah. Okay. I just want to see who we don't like. No, we love y'all. We love y'all. So y'all the bosses. How many of y'all work for a good boss? Raise your hand. All right. Come on, somebody. And Beverly is milking this one. Okay. So you've got to deal with bosses. How many of y'all are in a relationship with somebody? You in love? I'm going to tell you what. You married folks should have been first one in your hands. I want you thinking. Okay, so you've got this relationship. Listen to this. You can write this down if you want to. There are three things. There are three things that are three questions everyone asks. This is universal. This is black, white, red, and yellow. This is American, Russian, Chinese. Doesn't matter who you are. These are the three questions. Number one is, do you care for me? Do you value? Another word you could put in that. You could put in there. Do you care for me? Do you value me? Here's another one. Do you love me? Now think about your relationships. What was one of the questions you had in your mind when you started dating someone? What was one of the first things you wanted to know? Do they what? Do they love me? Do they care for me? Do they value me? Amen? Y'all still tracking me? Okay, so then the next one is, now, and it's the same with a boss. If you're working for somebody, you want to know, do you value your employees? So I'm telling you leaders something, you bosses something. Your people want to know, do you value them? And if you don't ever tell them you value them, then they're missing one of the major questions of their life. And you need to answer that for them. Amen? Same way with pastors or anyone else. So the next one is this, is can you help me? How many of y'all remember that question? If I'm going to have, how many of y'all remember the Bible says it this way? The Bible says it this way. It says that bad company does what to good morals? Corrupts good morals. You might want to ask yourself, can you help me when you have a relationship with somebody? See, you're not amen, amen now. But if you're hanging out with a bunch of drunks and a bunch of addicts and a bunch of people that don't like God, and those are your bestest buddies, can I tell y'all something? They're not helping you. So you need to ask yourself a question. In this relationship, is that person going to help me? Is that boss going to help me at this place? I may not need to be at this place if they don't care for me and value me and if they can't help me. So I want to know, can you help me? And that's the same way you do. Can I say something else? That's the same questions you have for God. Does God value me? What does He think about me? Does He care for me? How many of you know you have that question? It's in you, and I'm helping you get it out right now. The other one is, can He help me? One of the things pastors do when we give an altar call is tell you how much God cares for you and tell you how much better you're going to be because He's going to help you. Right? He's going to save you. Here's the other one is, can I trust you? How many of y'all have ever had that question in your mind? You don't have a relationship if you haven't had it. It's in everybody's relationship box. It's in your thinking. So these are the three major questions that are in relationships, and it's in business, and that is, do they care for me? Can they help me? And can I trust them? And I'm just going to say this to you moms and daddies in here and husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends. You better be building some trust between one another because we in some tough days today where we're living, and we need trust. There's mistrust in our nation. There's mistrust in the world. I'm like, amen. I mean, all you got to do is turn on the news. There's so much distrust or mistrust among us. I'm just saying this. Our relationships are based on three questions. And Jesus answers all three of them with yes. When you say, do you care for me? He says, yes, I do. Can you help me if I get in a relationship with you? Yes, I can. Will you? Can I trust you if I really commit myself in here? If I really put myself in, can I really trust you? Now, let me just say one thing about trust, and we're going to preach it in just a moment, but let me just give this to you. The idea of trust, how many of y'all remember in Proverbs 3:5 it says to lean not unto your... Yeah, trust not in your... Yeah, you don't trust it. Hand me a chair up here, would you? When you're strong, guys. So, here's trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. Here's what we think. We think we're trusting must be leaning, because he said, lean not on my own understanding and trust in him. Here's the word trust and lean. Lean does not mean I'm propped up on Jesus. It doesn't mean I'm part on the ground and part on him. But you're not amen to me now. Trust is not I'm a little bit in and a little bit out. Leaning is not a little bit in. The Bible says that I don't need to trust or lean on my own understanding. I need to trust in him. Trust means to sit in him. Watch this. But it doesn't mean to sit with your feet on the floor. So if I really trust him and I'm leaning on him, I got my feet up. In other words, I don't trust the chair with my feet on the floor. I trust the chair when I'm able to give it my whole weight, like Pastor Gabriel did trying to climb up in his attic on the back of a church chair. Did he tell y'all that story?
Yes.
So I'm just saying, he trusted that chair. It didn't work, but he trusted. You better catch it, I'll throw it at you. So these are the three things that we got to get to in this. And I'm going to say this about Jesus, and I want to hit the first one a little bit longer than the other ones. But the one thing I want you to get is God values you. God values you. Jesus valued people more than he valued anything else. Yeah, I mean, just read your Bible. Say, God values me. Okay, Jesus proves that so much in the Bible. How many of you remember that his worst conflict with people was the religious people, and they were the Pharisees, the scribes and the doctors of the law, people that wanted a Bible quiz every Sunday. That your life was not about you. It's about could you do the works and could you say the right things and be the right way. And they were vile about that. So much that they caught a woman in adultery. Y'all remember that story? Look, y'all, brought her out in the middle of town, threw her down on the ground, went picking up rocks to stone her, and then they called Jesus and said, what you got to say about her? Because Moses said, because the law said. Pastor, no, wait a minute. Be careful. Because you're going to say that Jesus loves people more than the law. Listen to me. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. So let me show you what the law was really about. There was a woman on the ground and everybody had rocks to stone her. And they said, and what do you say about her? And he said, I'm just going to talk about y'all just for a minute. He that has no sin, throw the first stone. And they wouldn't, none of them throw the stone. So they walked away dropping the rocks. And he looked at her and said, go and sin no more. I'm just saying this. He proved that day that he did not put the law or works above people. He saw worth in her. They couldn't see any worth because they were looking at the works. They were looking at what she was doing, so they couldn't see her works. You need to be amen and right now that you've got a God that doesn't look at your goofy works, but looks at your heart and says, I see value in you. I see something in you I can change. Because if it's about what we did yesterday, we all in trouble. I know some of y'all are real holy, but here's the bad thing about you holy folk. When you fall, you're hard to get back. Don't be mad at me. But you people that are always, you know, walk right, spit white, you know, just, I'm not going to be chewing, dipping, smoking. You know, I'm just so pure, and I want everybody in my church pure. I'm going to tell you right now, I think purity is a good thing. I think we ought to have purity. I'm all about purity. But let me just say this to you. If my whole life is wrapped up in law, then I am a person that values works rather than valuing someone's life. And I'm making up my mind about something. I'm going to value your life. I want to be like God and start seeing some worth in you. Does that make sense to you? Because when someone that's a legalist, when they're in legalism and they value the law and works and they fall, they can never really find good redemption. They're the ones that's always whining. They're always begging God. You never can get them to bleed prayer again because they were a legalist and they fail. So they look bad and now they're shamed, right? Because they're disappointed in themselves. So Jesus clearly was a person that valued people. Here's one more, and we'll just kind of hit some high spots on this one on value. But how many of you remember the story of the prodigal son? Luke 15. And we won't read it all, but if you start at verse number 11 in Luke 15, you find the story of the prodigal son. And Jesus is responding again to Pharisees, a bunch of legalists. He's responding to them, and he said, well, there was a man that had two sons. Y'all remember that story? Okay, so what happened? Boy, that's easy theology right there, babe. One got the money and left. What y'all say over here? What happened? What happened that day? Tell me about the prodigal son. Somebody help me. Did God his inheritance? Checked out. Okay, let me give you a few thoughts about this real quick about this boy. Number one, he did not get the father's money. The elder brother said, you took everything of your daddy's and you went off. And we hear this preached to us, and we've got preconceived children's church ideas that this one kid is the bad kid because he took the father's money. You need to read your Bible. It doesn't say he took the father's anything. It says he asked him for his portion. Now, he's stupid. I grant him that. Because he's living in the well and asking for a bucket. The father is the source. And he wants a bucket he could stay and have the whole well. So he leaves. But listen to me closely. If you read it, it says he took his portion. In other words, the father gave him what belonged to him. One of the worst things you can do is have your stuff. Look at me, let me tell you something. Because when you run out of your stuff, you ain't got no more. But if I can stay in the well and have a Father God who is my source and supply, then I don't have to say it's mine. I can say everything in heaven and earth belongs to Him. I praise Him for what He gives me. The tithe no longer becomes a problem of me losing 10% because it wasn't mine to start with. I don't want a bucket and leave. I want to live in the source here. So the kid, he asked for his, and the Bible said he took his portion. Here's something else you don't hear preached much, but the Bible says he gave it to both of the boys. The oldest son got 2/3, he got 1/3, whatever that inheritance looked like, and your Bible says the eldest son got his too. Oh yeah, but the eldest son stayed home. What did younger son do? Help me real quick. Preach, help me. What did young son do? He took his bucket and did what? Took off, went to a fire. Now, look, let me say this. He didn't do it the same day. Your Bible says, after many days, he pondered this a little while and got to thinking how rich he really was because he had a bucket. And so he left with his bucket, went to a far place, and your Bible said he spent it. And here's where we get the word prodigal, because he spent it as a prodigal. That means lavish living. Now, if you read the whole story, his brother said he spent it on harlots, and we preach what the brother said, but God never said he spent it on harlots. But you're not amening now. He lived lavishly. He lived above his means. He didn't watch what he had. He kept acting like he was in the well and he was in the bucket. And when he got done with it, your Bible said he looked for help. And your Bible says no one would help him. So then he sold himself out. Nobody would give him a thing. He sold himself out to a person of the country. And they put him in a field to work. And he was going to be feeding pigs. What a place for a good Jewish boy. He's feeding hogs. And your Bible said he talked to the hogs. He said, y'all got better food than I do. I have nothing. I'm going to eat your food. So he's dealing with hogs. Let me tell y'all something. Hogs can't help you. If you're out in the world, you're not with God. You're in your own bucket right now. Ain't nobody around you going to help you. Amen. So the Bible says this. He came to himself. And there's a good place to be. Say, come to yourself. So he came to himself. When he came to himself, he found something out that he could talk to himself. How many's ever talked to yourself? Yeah, I know. Some of y'all in deep trouble doing that, but I mean, just saying. If you're responding to yourself, we may have a floor over to UAB for you. But I'm just saying, the Bible says he came to himself, and then he talked to himself. And here's where religious people end up. And we need to get there. If you're screwed up today, you do need to talk to yourself. He talked to himself, and he said, what am I doing? I could be home with my daddy right now. Now listen to him. Listen, I want you to get this. Because he says this. He said, I could be home with my daddy right now. And if I would go home with my daddy, I could not go back as a son. Listen to what he says, y'all. Listen to your Bible. I could not go back as a son. I can go back as a slave. I can never be under the source again. I can never have access again. I've given everything up, but I could go back and be a slave. I'm going to just tell y'all right now, there's some of you dime a dozen Christians up in here right now that you walk around like a slave. You can't help. You can't be a part of core team. You can't do anything else. I'm not spiritual enough. I don't pray enough. I'm going to tell you, none of us do, but we got to make up our minds that there's a God that loves us. He sees value in us, and we're going to stand up and start doing something. We're going to start putting ourselves out there and quit acting like a slave. Come on. Amen. So I'm just saying. So the boy came to himself. He said, I go home, I'll be a slave. So here's his concept. Here's his concept. I go home and I repent. Tell my daddy. Daddy, listen to what he says. I'm not worthy. to be called your son. Therefore, let me come back and be a slave or a servant, and I'll be happy. Now he said that because the servants are doing better than I'm doing. I mean, the worst one in the house is better than me. So he starts seeing that. But here's what he does on his way back. He's practicing. How many of you know he practiced it? Because the Bible said he said it to himself. So all the way back, he's saying, Father, I'm so sorry. I sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. And I just want to be a servant. I know I can't be your son again. Father, I'm so sorry. I'm going to repent. Because I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy to be your son. I'll just be a servant. I'll be a slave. Father, I just want you to know that I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. And I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. But if you'll just let me come back, just let me come back. I'll be a slave. I will be a servant. I don't have to sleep in the house anymore. Just if you just let me back on the property, if you just take care of me again, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I want you to come to Jesus. But that's not how you come to Jesus. Yeah, but that sounds broken. I'm going to tell you, it was broken. And you can be broken. You need to repent. You need to turn from where you're going. And you need your heart broken because of what you've done and who you've been. But let me tell you something. Don't dummy God down to your level. Oh, see, you're not amen to me now. But we make God be like us. That kid was disappointed in his life. How many of y'all have ever been disappointed before? Okay, it's in your notes. Disappointment is the distance between expectations and reality. How many's ever expected something? Raise your hand. Okay, hands down. Look, y'all help me here. How many of y'all have ever expected anything for your birthday? How many's ever expected anything for Christmas? How many didn't get it? How many were disappointed? How many's ever expected a job raise? How many didn't get it? How many were disappointed? Okay, y'all tracking me now. So the distance or the distance between what I expected and what reality is where I put my disappointment. And every one of us get disappointed. But listen to me. I'm not preaching you can't be disappointed. I'm preaching that you can't dummy God down to your level because He's never been disappointed in you. You don't know what I did. You don't know your God. You don't know what I was called to be. And you don't know how far I fell. You didn't fall any further than any of the rest of us. Yeah, but I was serving as a pastor. I was serving as a prophet. I was. You don't know how high I was. I'm gonna tell you right now. You wasn't that high. You were high in your own mind, but the rest of us knew where you were. So when you look up here and think, boy, those guys are special on that platform. I'm gonna tell you right now. When we fall the same distance you do. Well, I will fall a little bit further today. This is the most dangerous stage I've been on. You put an old man up here. You gotta be manly. You put an old man up on the stage without a rail to catch him. So here's the deal. You got disappointed. We all get disappointed. But here's the problem. You can't make God disappointed. But he put me here and he gave me that and I failed him. I know he's disappointed. I know he knew you was going to do it before you did it. You're not amen to me now. He wasn't disappointed in Judas because he knew Judas. He wasn't disappointed in Peter because he knew Peter. He said, I'm praying for you. I know what you're going to do. You jacked up and I'm going to pray for you and you're going to fail me. But when you come back, he didn't say when you come back, you're going to have to sweep the floor. He said, when you come back, you're going to teach some other people. I'm going to put you in. I'm trying to help y'all right now that disappointment will keep you from where God's called you because you dummy God down to think like you do. That kid's daddy did not think like him. That kid said, he'll be disappointed in me and I can't serve him. I'll just be a slave. That's the only way I can get back. The father saw him coming. You need to tell me what the Bible said. The father saw the kid coming. And what did he do? He ran to him, fell on his neck. That means bear hugged the kid, started kissing him. This kid smelled like a pig. He's been gone. We don't know how long. He had given up his access. He was dead to the daddy. He gave up on everything. But the daddy's heart was valued for that kid. Don't dummy God down. He's not looking at you saying, I'm so sad. Look at you. He's saying, I knew you'd do that. Now, come on. Don't sweep the floors. help me where I've called you. Do you see what I'm saying? Y'all tracking me? So he said the daddy fell on him. He gave him three things just real quick. He gave him a robe, and that showed that he was back into a place of righteousness or acceptance with the Father. He gave him shoes. That showed him that he had a word or a voice in the house. And he gave him a ring. How many of you know he gave him a ring? He said, go get the best robe. Go get the ring. Go get some sandals. And the ring was a signet ring, which meant like having a credit card. Some of y'all bad with them already, so I'm not inferring you need to do this, but the kid had a credit card now. He could go to the store and get what he wanted to because now it's on the well and not on the bucket. So the daddy saw him come back and said, I'm giving you everything back. I'm giving you back your sonship. I'm giving you back access. I'm giving you back authority. You're coming right back up in here as a son. You left as a son. You come back as a son. You're not a slave in my house. Don't dummy me down to think like you. There were two that did not understand or know their father. Two didn't. Because two of them didn't think the kid was worthy. The boy and who else? Brother. Elder brother. Elder brother. All of you long-time people in church need to be amen real hard right there. Acting like you ain't going to be like that. Because that elder brother does like some of us long-time church folk do. We're going to judge whoever's coming back. But you don't know what they did, and look how they acted, and look what they said, and you know, you just look how they treated people. I'm just going to say this to you. You can't dummy God down to that, but what you're proving to me is you don't know God any better than they do. You don't know Him, and you don't know His ways, because God is a merciful God. Somebody needs to say thank you for mercy. Some of y'all need to say thank you, Jesus, right now, because of the mercy and the grace of God, and you're under that right now. You're not under a God that's disappointed. You're under a God of grace and mercy that sees you with great joy. He sees you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He sees you dead, buried, and resurrected. He sees you something you can't see yourself. Okay, so I do too. It's one of the best things I preach today. The rest of it's kind of line out, but that's the good part. God values you. So don't dummy Him down. Amen? The other two is, does God care for me? And does He care for you? Do I have to preach that? I mean, really, do I have to preach that? I just read the verse about don't worry about stuff because God will take care of lilies in the field, take care of flowers that people never see. So won't He do that with you so you can relax? I don't have to preach this very much because the Bible says, does He care for me? 1 Peter chapter 5 says, I'm being kept by the power of God. See, some of y'all thought you were kept by your works. That's legalism. And you see value in your works, and God sees value in your being. It doesn't mean we don't work. It just means that those works are not what puts me close to God. Amen? So He says this, you're being kept by the power of God. So some of y'all need to quit keeping yourself. I'm going to tell you why. Because you ain't God, number one. And you're going to do something stupid, number two. How many of y'all can't use stupid at your house? That's Gabriel's middle name until he got to be about 18 or 20. We have two sons. Both of them had the same middle name. The third thing is this. Can I trust Him? Can I trust Him? Can I put all my weight on Him? Can I trust what you just told me, Pastor Mike, that I'm valuable? Can I trust that He's going to keep me? Can I trust Him? I tried to figure that out, and I came up with that. I came up with that Proverbs, 3:5, and it was about, you know, to trust in the Lord, lean not in my own understanding. So I got to trust Him, put all my weight on Him. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Just help me. Y'all do know I was born in 1950. That means I'm a 50 and 60s kid. That means I'm a 60s and 70s rock and roller. So that means my music has got to be from an era, right? So if y'all turn on my radio, if it doesn't have something with Jesus on it, there's going to have something of Motown on it or something of old school 60s and 70s oldies on my radio. My kids sing the songs, and I hate to say this about my son because he's your pastor, but he knows more of the 60s and oldies songs than almost anybody that I know. Just sings them. Because when we travel in it sometimes, and we play that just all the time. So I know that for some of y'all, you're a legalist person, so you're saying how bad we are. And I'm saying, don't dummy me down. So here's the only thing I come up with. I thought, how are we going to deal with trust? And I remembered Bill Withers. Y'all probably don't remember, y'all remember William Harrison Withers? Yeah, Bill Withers. He's 78 years old now. He was born in a place called, what was the name of that place? Pork Flats. Pork Flat, West Virginia. Something like, I think it's Pork Flat. Did I write it down? It was funny to me when I heard it. Maybe I wrote it down. No, it was Slab Fork. Slab Fork, West Virginia. So, yeah, Slab Fork. What? Pig Flat? Flat. So he was at Slab Fork. That's why I'm trying to get somebody else to help me on this one. So he left Slab Fork, West Virginia. He goes out to California. He's in L.A. He's in the Watts area of L.A., which is one of the poor areas of town. And while he was there, he did not have his life group support. He didn't have his church family support. He didn't have his neighborhood support anymore because he's no longer in Kansas, and he clicked his heels and it didn't work. And he's sitting at a piano in Watts in 1972. And Bill said, he ran my fingers up the keys and down the keys. And I thought, if I just had somebody to lean on again, that I'm out here away from everything I know. And he wrote a song. How many remember Lean On Me? It's just one of the best songs in the world. So if y'all would just placate this old man and humor an elder, I want to play this. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to receive this about learning to lean. That's going to be lean on me, like you're going to want somebody to lean on you. I would like for you to hear it like God wants you to lean on Him. That means sit down, pick your feet up, and put everything you got on Him for one time in your life. See that He values you, He cares for you, and you can trust Him. Could we do that?
Just call on your brother.
Tell you that and more. If heaven could play to you, if heaven could play to you, I know y'all want to see some naked butted babies flying around with little harps and playing and picking. But what if there were some real folk playing to you, saying, "Lean on me, I'm just up the road." That kid did not know his daddy was just up the road, and he ran to him. He had a totally misconception concerning his daddy, who wasn't disappointed. I want an altar call to be given today for everyone. This may include some of y'all sitting on the front row, but you faced a disappointment. Maybe you did something. You're disappointed in yourself as a parent, as a child, as a Christian, as someone at work. Maybe your walk with God right now is not far from where that guy was. Now, I could get up and preach you to hell if you want me to, but I'd much rather preach that there's a God that sees value in you. That you could see that you got to get up, talk to yourself. I can't stay here. I can't be here. I got a Father that loves me. I'm not going back as a slave. He's not disappointed. I heard that pastor tell me, and he sees value in me. He's not willing for somebody to stone me today because they speak in tongues and they've been in church longer than me. Today is my day, and disappointment's got to go in Jesus' name. If you've ever been disappointed and you want God to touch you today, I want you to stand. If you're not where you need to be with God and you're disappointed in your walk, stand. If you're disappointed in something else that I don't know about, just let's stand. We're going to pray for you right now. We're going to believe every chain falls. Every chain falls. Every chain falls. Every kid comes home. Every kid comes home. Look at me. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You've got to be home in your heart and not just in your head. You can quote me verses all day long, but I've seen too many people that thought that church was about a Bible quiz and legalism and everybody being the same, that they could never get themselves where they need to be with God because they were never good enough. And I'd just like to tell you this. You didn't save you. You didn't come up with a plan of salvation. And the plan is always going to be this: for God so valued the world. Isn't that what it says? So loved, so valued, answers the very first question that you have in a relationship. And today he says, restoration's yours. Restoration's yours. I want you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Get you along with God. I want you to raise one hand. Raise your right hand. Just your right hand. And you can raise it however you want to. You can do that little sheepish one just above your waist, or you can reach it up high. I don't care how you do it. But you're raising one hand. Now, Pastor Mike, why one hand? Because two hands is praise by and large. One hand is commitment. One hand is that hand of trust. One hand is that hand of value and love. One hand is that hand of help. It's called the helping hand of the helping hands. So you got your hand up. You got your eyes closed. I want you to say this with me. Say, I thank you, Father God, that you are not disappointed in me. That you value me and you care for me, and you're the only one that can really help me, and I can trust you when everything else fails me. when my spouse or my children, my mama or my daddy, my church or my business, you'll never fail me. I can trust you. You can help me because you value me and you love me. Forgive me now for dumbing you down to my level, not letting you be God right by yourself. You don't need me to make decisions. You've already made a decision before I got here today. And I receive that answer that disappointment is gone. I'm home. I have a ring of access. I have a robe of righteousness. I have a shoe of authority. Forgive me now, Lord. I repent, Lord. I'm coming home. And I thank you that you love me. Now keep your hand up. Say this one with me. Say, as an elder brother. Say it again. Say, as an elder brother, I'm committed to see value in my brother. I'm committed to help my brother. I'm committed for my brother to know I trust him. From this day forward, for 2017, I'll never be the same. I'm changing my cue, my routine will be messed up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hug two people. Tell them you love them.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.